6:43, 17 till 8. The weather's going to be nice here. Lower humidity. You'll feel it this morning, especially tomorrow morning and through the weekend. Dry highs between 85 and 90. And God bless the people in Florida because they are getting ready to get hammered. Mike Strain joins us now, Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Man, I'm doing very well. It is raining here in Washington, D.C. I've been here 3 days in FEMA headquarters. Mm-hmm. I was appointed to serve on a planning for animal welfare subcommittee to the National Advisory Council, and that's by an act of Congress. And so we've been here working, basically plowing new ground. You know, when we have storms, in Louisiana, we're very good now at evacuating our animals, you know, dealing with service animals, pets, you know, public, you know, and assistance animals. But that's not the same way across the United States and across the territories. And so this group was put together, 13, quote, experts in the field, and we're going through FEMA policy and writing FEMA policy, and we hope that it's going to be accepted by FEMA, looking at the best methods, and a lot of it's modeled on what we do, you know, in Louisiana and in Florida and some of the other states. And so it's a lot of work going on, but it goes down all the way to guidance at the local level and how it comes up through the state to the federal government. And then working on what FEMA will assist with and what FEMA will not assist with. And that's always been a big deal. We've been very fortunate there in Louisiana and in GOSEP, Governor's Office of Homeland Security. And when we deal with that, we've found ways to deal with those things that are not funded by any mechanism. You know, but we've always had to, you know, work, and it takes time to figure these things out. So now we're looking at a national model because as you look at Hurricane Helen, you know, she's going to hit Florida really hard and then move up through the heartland. But the idea is, you know, that we learned from Hurricane Katrina, if the pets don't leave, the people don't leave. And then it becomes a rescue. And so all of this is based on, you know, really better safety, you know, to get the humans out. But also, how do we deal with this? How do we deal with the pets? What is a pet, you know, and what is a service animal? And how do we deal with it?
Mike, I don't say this to curry favor with you because Lord knows you don't need my endorsement, but I do think the world of you, and I'm just wondering while you're up there, have you been able to, or are you guys doing anything to kind of help with the preparations
Absolutely.
In Florida? Go ahead.
Yes. Well, I'm at the National FEMA headquarters, and I can tell you that the Central Command, when I'm telling you it's buzzing like a beehive. They are working very, very hard. I'll be at NASA later today, you know, looking at their satellite center. But, yes, everything's in gear. A number of the members that serve on these committees have already been mobilized. So all of that is in go. And what we are doing here, and, again, I was appointed by FEMA and it's as from an act of Congress, to dive in and look at the policies. How do we improve what we're doing? And the main thing is that we have guidance. In other words, you don't have to try to figure it out each time that there's guidance that says, this is how this should be handled. This is who's responsible for what. And then we're trying to get a greater cost share or a cost share period from FEMA. And I'll give you, for instance, if, you know, we are evacuating animals, say we evacuate from New Orleans and we're going to Alexandria and you need tractor trailers to move the pets. Mm-hmm. Well, that's generally not covered under the Stafford Act. How do we do that? How do we fund that? You know, and where do we get those precious dollars? Or in the case, you know, where you have, you know, situations where you've got to get fuel so that you can, or fuel or assets or you know, or food or hay, if there's a big fire coming, how do you do that? Who helps pay for that? And it's always been that animals were, quote, under Department of Agriculture, USDA, but USDA is a post-event type of situation. They will come and help. But we need, you know, what's going on there. And the reason it's coming to FEMA, because FEMA's in Central Command with us. And we're all working together. And somewhere in Central Command, when we're there on site, somebody there has got to figure out how to deal with every issue. And so as we look at what's happening in other parts of the United States, we're trying to develop a model to where it is streamlined, it is efficient, and, you know, to help everyone do a better job.
Mike, when you talk about pets, you're talking about household pets like dogs, cats, birds. Or are you talking about, is it when you talk about agriculture, it's dogs? Is it a different thing when you're talking about cattle and goats and whatever people
yes,
ranch?
Yes, there's a very big delineation. You know, dogs and cats, household pets that are kept for companionship and pleasure. But you can also have, you know, someone may have a small horse that's a pet. How do you deal with that? How do you get them to a shelter if they have no method to do that? livestock, commercial livestock is handled a little bit differently, but we also have to have the ability, if we need to get water to them when it's, you know, this is pre-storm evacuation and post-storm and recovery, and we have to make sure that nothing falls through the gap, because if you have a herd of anything, whether it's a chicken house or cattle, and they don't get food or water or whatever they need, and then they die, now you've got a public health issue. Right, you've got contamination, so we have to do everything we can do, and someone there has got to be able to step up to the plate. And you may have an entity, a municipality or a state, that doesn't have the assets readily available, and we may need FEMA to bring fuel or water, or in the case, you know, like in California with the fire, hay or whatever. And so we've always worked with volunteers, or we would set up a financial situation where the farmers would sign a note on a loan if we couldn't get it covered by any other mechanism, because under state law, under our constitution, we cannot give away anything of value, period. We have to have a funding source from somewhere, either from the legislature or using volunteer dollars or federal dollars. But the main thing is that we have to have a mechanism to supply those needs, to prevent mass casualties in the animal world, and also so that the people will evacuate and leave. So if you have someone that has, you know, four horses and said, look, I'm staying here, I'm not leaving, so the storm is coming, I have nowhere to go. Well, we have to have a way to get them, say, you know, to a shelter, to Lamar Dixon or to the one in Alexandria or Bastrop or wherever, and then have a mechanism to take care of them once they are there.
Mike, let me take a break. We'll pick it up when we come back. You don't want to wish anything on anybody at all. And we feel for our friends to the east of us, and a lot of people own property there that live here. I get that. But I'd like to talk about, if that thing had come here, how disastrous it would have been. I'm talking about Francine. And also, nothing happens in a vacuum. When it comes to the agriculture of the United States, what kind of damage this could do to the markets and different commodities, et cetera. So we'll pick it up with Mike Strain. We come back. Very smart man, Dr. Mike Strain, a skilled veterinarian. He's in Washington working with FEMA. As he said, I can imagine it's just a frenzy of activity as Florida gets ready for the approach of Helene. We'll take a break. We come back. More with Mike, 6:50, 10 till 7. Traffic now, WWL. 6:56, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Mike Strain, Commissioner of the Department of Agriculture and Forestry, Dr. Mike Strain, veterinarian, who's in Washington right now with FEMA. Before we get to the hurricane in Florida, Mike, and commodities and so forth, we talked yesterday with an economist about a likely strike at the port among dock workers. What kind of effect would that have on farmers, and how much are you guys watching that?
We're watching that very, very closely. One of the things, you know, on the docks, especially what we had before with the dock issues during COVID, we couldn't get spare parts. And if you look at one of the big issues, blades for cane cutters, for instance, were on those machines, and we're fixing to go into cane. So if you can't get the blades in, it really can shut down a lot of agriculture. But also, you know, now is the time we have to move our products offshore as they come in. In other words, there's not enough storage for corn and beans and rice. It's got to be in motion everywhere from the heartland all the way down the river. And if those ships don't sail, then it backs up the whole system, which then depresses the commodity prices and really throws, quote, a monkey wrench in the whole system, because then you get instability and uncertainty. And so we're really hoping that it doesn't affect especially the lower Mississippi River, but it'll have a dramatic effect on the east and west coast ports. Especially if you go into the Carolinas and if you go into like Los Angeles. And so before we've been, you know, busier in our ports here in Louisiana, but it can have a devastating effect because you have to think about, you know, everything in commerce is interrelated now, and, you know, spare parts, technology, and it gets down. If you remember a couple of years ago, we couldn't get the chips, the microchips that had to go into the trucks that were needed to operate the anti-pollution part of these tractor trailers. And so if that microchip went down, then the truck wouldn't run, and then we couldn't haul the grain. So you've got all these things interrelated, and we are watching this very, very closely.
Mike, you know, again, if Helene, and I say my prayers every night, but if Helene had hit this area, our area, at this time, that could have been devastating for the sugarcane crop and Lord knows what else.
Especially, Yes, yes. So if you start off in the lower parishes with the sugarcane, because you know right now very little of the actual cane going into the mills has been harvested, would affect the plant cane dramatically because we're still having some issues with plant cane from the previous storm. But also, it would have further lodged that cane down, which would have resulted in higher cost to harvest and less sugar. So we really needed this good weather that we're having, you know, for recovery. And then as you move into the northern parts and central parts of Louisiana, right now, you know, cotton is at risk because all the cotton bowls are open. We've only harvested about 22%, and a lot of rain and bad weather could really, really affect that. And then soybeans, you know, right now we've got about 95% of them harvested, so the other ones part, that would have hurt. And then on our sweet potatoes. And so we really, you know, have dodged a big bullet here. So not only would we have had loss of quality, it would have delayed harvest. So we're very, very fortunate. And, of course, going through the mid where it's going now and kind of ending up almost headed towards the Midwest, you can see it affect sweet potatoes. You can see it affect peanuts and other crops.
You don't want to wish anything bad on anybody else. And God bless
No.
you. Thank you, Mike. Safe travels. All right.
Take care.
And enjoy that high temperature of 70 degrees, you son of a gun. Mike Strain and the nation's...
Yes, nice.
I bet it is. Mike Strain working hard in the nation's capital with FEMA. We'll take a break, come back, talk to Peyton Malone and Pat Connick and more.